Morning. Today's daf and Shabbos. Lamed Gimel. We are on the bottom. Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis. We are three lines from the bottom. But Avon Gezel is what we are up to. The Gemara yesterday went into a long discussion of Schar Va'Onesh, reward and punishment, and Mida Keneged Mida. It comes off of the Mishnah that we saw in the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. The Mishnah Ashal Sheivers Nosha Mesos B'Shas Le'Dasan. As far as women are concerned, so for three particular averus, they're going to be dying B'Shas Le'Da. Shas Leida is a time of vulnerability. We saw that extensively in yesterday's Gemara. And so for three particular sins, so they are going to be taken at a vulnerable point. The Gemara now is going to highlight numerous averos that a person is going to be receiving a particular onshim for. And so what we're going to be doing is, we started this yesterday, we went through three averos yesterday. Yesterday we spoke out the averos of Sinas Chinam and the negligence of Hafresh Haschala. And the negligence of Hafreshas Trumas HaMaisros. And so we're continuing now Ba'avon Gezel. With three lines from the bottom, picking it up right where we left off yesterday. Ba'avon Gezel is a result of a person involved in thievery. Hagubai Ola. V'arav Hava. Uvnei Adam Ochlim B'sar B'neim V'nosehim. So when a person steals, so the ramifications of that is that we're going to have a plague of locusts. There's going to be famine. And Rachmanos, people are going to be eating their children. Shenemer, the pasuk says, Shimo Adavar Azeh, Paros HaBashan Asher Bahar Shamron, HaOshkos Dalim HaRotzim Evyonim. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Amos, speaking to the Paros HaBashan, literally the fat cows, that are in Har Shamron, and they're Oshek. Oshek is taking advantage of somebody, stealing from that individual. And Rotzim Evyonim, and taking advantage of the poor people. Amar Rava Kagon Haninashe de Mechuza. Rava gives a very strong example of people that are involved in Geneva, and that is the wives of Mechuza, the Achlam Velo Avadan. They do consume, but they don't work. Rashi on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Rashi says what we mean over here is one of two possibilities. See the Rashi on the top I'm reading. V'nimsa Shagozos is Baalehem. So first of all, Rashi says they mamas just steal from their husbands, meaning because of their appetite for consumption, and so therefore they have a need, so they steal directly from the husband. That's the first Pshat in Rashi. V'od, Rashi continues, Mitoch shemalumados b'maychol v'mishta gormos lebaaleim l'gzol, because they are so used to eating and drinking, and they are high maintenance. So what their husbands have to do in order to support their wives and their wives' lifestyle is the husbands themselves have to steal. That's a second possibility of Rashi understanding our Gemara. Back to the Gemara, uksiv. Now, so far we just discussed the avera. Now we're discussing the onish. We go back to Amos, we go back to the same Perek, and the Navi continues. He kesiyas chem b'shidafon v'yirakon. Harbos ginosechem ukarmechem uteinechem v'zeisechem. So I'm going to hit you with all different types of catastrophes that affect your crop. And it's going to affect all different types of crop. And yochla hagezem. And on top of that, the locusts are going to come. Uksiv. Now here we're quoting the pasuk from Yoel. The reason why we're quoting the pasuk from Yoel is the gezem is one type of locust. The psukim in Yoel, one of the shorter Nevi'im in Treasar. So he describes in the beginning the plague of various types of locusts. And so we're just establishing over here, where does gezem fall on the plague of locust chart? Uksiv yeser gezem achal harabev, yeser harabev achar hayelek, v'yeser hayelek achal hachasil. So over here in the pasuk in Yoel, we first comes the gezem, then comes the arbe, then comes the yalak, then comes the chasil. Uksiv ayigzur al yamim v'ra'av, v'yochal asmo v'lo saveu, ish b'sar zra'o yochelu. Now going back here, we're heading now to the Navi Yeshayahu, and it describes that the person is eating, is not going to be satiated, and Rachmanis has to eat his own arm. But now, as if that wasn't bad enough, we're darshaning, al tikre b'sar zra'o, ela b'sar zra'o. Instead of reading it as Zero, we can read it as Zaro, and that goes back to the ownership we described for the person that's involved in Gzela. Rachman is the person who's going to be eating his own children. Ba'avon, continuing in the Gemara, Ba'avon inu adin va'ivas adin v'kilkol adin u'bitzal Torah. So as a result of three different types of perversion of justice and bitzal Torah, we're going to go through each of the three different types of perversion of justice. See Rashi over here. Rashi starts off with inu adin. It's the fourth line down in Rashi. Shem me'achrin hadayinim ladono. So Rashi over here by Inu Edin describes where the judges know what the judgment is going to be. They just delay coming down with a ruling. And V'lo L'shem Shemayim, Rashi says, and they're not doing it for any good reason. Ela La'achar Shehuvar Lehem Adin, Mashin Oso. They just simply delay it. So that is Inu Edin. Ivos Adin, next Rashi. Shema Afsin Oso Mizidin. So they literally are perverting justice, meaning they know what the halacha is, and they're just simply perverting the actual justice itself. And finally, the next Rashi, Kilkol Adin, Shalom Yimetunim Bo La'ayin, Kol Tzar Chamin Iskalkol Me'elav. And by Kilkol Adin, they just simply are not careful about what they are judging. They're not investigating the matter thoroughly, and they're coming up to the wrong conclusion, just simply for a lack of due diligence. And then finally, Bittul Torah is self-explanatory, neglecting the study of Torah. So as a result of this, Cherev, Ubiza Rabba, Videver, Ubitzaras Ba. So various types of calamities befall the Jewish people. The sword, plundering, plague, Ubitzaras Ba, and years of famine. Ubnei Adam Ochlim Ve'enu Sveim, they're going to be eating, but they're not going to be satiated. Va'ochlim lachman b'mishkal. They're going to have to weigh their bread, meaning foods are going to get rationed. Dichsiv ve'evesi alechem cherv no kemes nekam bris. Ve'ein bris el Torah. Now the pasuk in Vayikra in the Tochacha goes on to describe that the cherv is going to come because people are involved in bris. And bris is a reference to Torah Shenemar. Im lo brisi yaman v'layla. Uksiv b'shivri lachem matei lechem v'afu eser nashim v'gomer. And on top of that, we describe how women are going to be cooking the bread, baking the bread, but no one's going to be satiated. And it's because we perverted justice, like we described in the beginning. Okay, so that is the avon, that is going to be the sin and the ramifications and the repercussions for various different types of perversion of justice. Continuing in the Gemara, ba'avon, this is now number 6, as I have numbered in my Gemara. Ba'avon shvo shavu shvo shaker v'chilul Hashem v'chilul Shabbos. So as a result of a person being involved in making false oaths, shvua shav, where you blatantly distort the truth. This is a table, and you declare it to made out of wood, and you declare the table to be made out of metal. A shvua sheker, you lie. You lie about something in the past, you're lying about something in the future, you say you're going to do something, you don't do it, you make an oath to that effect. Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem, interesting Rashi over here. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Chilul Hashem Adam Gadol Shebnei Adam Lameidim Meimenu. The person is a great person. Others look up to him in terms of how to model. Ve'enu Nizer B'Masav. This particular Adam Gadol is not careful about his actions. Nimsu Akatan Mizazlam B'Torah Al Yadom. And because he is not being a proper role model, so the people looking at him are going to be acting accordingly. And so therefore he's going to be adversely influencing others based on the fact that he has a sterling reputation. People think he's an Adam Gadol, and meanwhile, he doesn't act accordingly. And as a result of that, so people are going to now speak poorly about the Torah, because this person, an Adam Gadol, reflection of the Torah, and meanwhile, his behavior does not speak of somebody who is representing the Torah, and so therefore, it'll be a Chilul Hashem. That is Rashi's definition over here of a Chilul Hashem. Chilul Shabbos is self-explanatory. Continuing back to the Gemara, so for the Shvur Shav Sheker, Chilul Hashem and Chilul Shabbos, so Chayra Rabba Vehema Kala Ubnei Adam is Ma'atim. So the ramifications are going to be that you'll have wild animals, and also the behemoth, the domesticated animals will end, and populations will diminish, will decrease. Vehadarachim Mishtomimim. And the roads are going to be desolate. And the pasuk, once again, we are back in the Tochacha. And with these things, lo sivasru, we did not hear the Musar. And al tikra be'ela ela ba'ala. And what we're going to do in the Kri and the Ksiv is that instead of reading it as it is pronounced ba'ela, we're going to read it ba'ala. And Allah, of course, is a shvua. Uksiv, v'ishlachti b'chem eschai sasadeh. And if you read on in the Tochacha over there, the wild animals will be sent out. And when it comes to Shavuot Sheker, also the Pasuk uses the word Chilul. Obviously the Pasuk regarding Chilul Hashem uses the word Chilul. Similarly, we have the word chilul used as it relates to Shabbos. V'yalav chilul chilul m'shvur sheker. And everything goes back to shvur sheker. So just like by shvur sheker, we have these ramifications, these repercussions coming as a result of neglecting the various different types of shvur, shvur shav, shvur sheker. Same thing is going to be true regarding chilul Hashem and chilul Shabbos because we are connecting all of them using the word chilul. Be'avon, we're up to number 7. Be'avon shvichos damim beis hamikdash charav v'shchina mistalakes mi'Yisrael. Because we are involved in murder, so therefore the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and the Shechina is going to be separated, removing itself from the Jewish people. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'lo sachanifu, v'lo setam es ha'aretz asher atam yoshim ba, asher ani shochein b'socha. So we are not allowed to cause destruction, destruction meaning human destruction, and we should not contaminate the land. The ha'atem mitamim osah, einchem yoshim ba. And if we are metame, and if we are involved, if we involve ourselves in any kind of ritzicha, so then we're no longer afforded the opportunity to live in the land. Vena shochein b'socha. Ba'avon gila ayra is continuing in the Gemara. We're up to now number 8. As a result of the sins of illicit relations, va'avodas kochavim, and being involved in idolatry, ve'ashmat shmitim v'yovlos, and neglecting properly the mitzvahs of shmita and yovel, galus ba la'olam. So exile is sent into the world of Megalno So, Ubar Nachim Yoshim Bim Kamam. We are going to be exiled outside the land of Israel. Others are going to come and supplant us. Shinem are the Pasuk. And we are now regarding the Parsha of Achremos. And we're talking about Gilu Arayis. It's Kol HaTovos HaEl, Asu Anshei HaAretz, Uksiv Vatitamei HaAretz, Vefkod Avona Alaha. So the Pasuk goes on to describe that if we contaminate the land by being involved in Gilu Arayos, so we are going to be visited with this particular Avera. Uksiv lo saki aretz eschem bitam echem osar. And the Pasuk goes on to say that the land will not spit you out if we are careful. But obviously the converse is that if we're not careful, the land is going to spit us out. Uvavodos kochem uksiv nasati es pigrechem uksiv ashimosis mikdashichem. And regarding the Isser of Avodah Zarah, so it says that the land will be destroyed. Ve'eschem azare begoyim, and I'm going to spread you out amongst the nations. Bishmitim v'yovos k'siv az tirtzeh ha'aretz eshabsoseh kol yemei hashama ve'atem ba'aretz oyevechem. And regarding the neglect of the mitzvot of Shemitah and Yovel, so once again, back to the Tochacha, in the Tochacha, it says that because we neglected Shemitah and Yovel, we're going to be kicked out of the land, and all the years that were neglected of Shemitah and Yovel, so the land now is able to rest for the years that we didn't properly rest it. Uksiv kol yemei hashama tishbos. And the psukim say by the Tochacha that for the years that are going to, the land now is going to be desolate and not have Jewish people there, so now the land can finally rest. Number 9. Bavon nivosper, tzaros rabos ugzeros kashos miskachos. So as a result of nivelpeh, is when a person speaks inappropriately. We're going to give an example of that in just a moment. Not just vulgarity, but we're also speaking about just speaking inappropriately. So as a result of that, tzaros rabos ugzeros kashos miskachos. So there are going to be calamities and decrees and harsh decrees that are going to renew. Ubacharei sonei Yisrael mesim. And the young Jewish people are going to die. The Gemara says, Sona Yisrael as a euphemism. Yisom v'amana so'akim. Orphans and widows are going to cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, ve'inan ne'enin. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to answer them. And we have a pasuk that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the father of the Yisomim, the caretaker of the widows. And yet, when people are involved in this particular avera of nivelpeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not answer, not even the Yisomim, not even the Amana. Shenemer al kain al b'churav lo yismach Hashem ve'es yisomav ve'es al menosav lo yirachem ki chalu chanaf umira. And the pasuk goes on to describe that as a result of this, the young are not going to be happy, are not going to be rejoicing, neither the orphans nor the widows, and there will not be any rachmanos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol peh dover nevela b'chol zos lo shav apo. And anyone who speaks with nevala, with this kind of vulgarity, so lo shavapo, Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger is not going to rescind. Ve'od yaton etuya. And finally, quoting this pasuk in Yeshayahu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand is not going to be withdrawn, it will continue to extend. My vo yadonitiya. This last part of the pasuk, what is it making reference to? So here the Gemara gives an example of nivel peh. And that is that everybody knows why the kala is going to go under the chuppah. Everyone understands what's going to be happening that evening with chasen and kala. However, the Gemara goes on to say, Ela kol amnavel piv. Anyone who articulates and describes it, afil chosman lav gzar din shel shivim shana, even if the person is sealed 70 years for good, litova, hofchen alav l'ra'a. So because of the nivel peh that he articulated, so then it's going to be turned lira'a. Amar Rav Barshila, Amar Rav Chista, Kol Amenavos Piv, Ma'amikim Lo Gehenim. Anyone who produces any kind of nivel peh, so Gehenim is going to be deepened for him. He will have a more recessed area within Gehenim. Shenemar, Shochei Amuka Pizaros. The Pasuk in Mishle, describing how it's going to be even deeper for the Pizar, for the one who speaks with a strange mouth, meaning speaks these kinds of vulgarities. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Af Shomea V'Shosek, Shenemer Zom Hashem Yipol Sham. And the Rav Nachman Yitzchak continues, and he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to hear and still be quiet. The Pasuk says, Zom Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, Yipol Sham, and he's going to fall over there. Amar Rav Oshia Kol HaMemarik Atzmo La'Avera, Chaburos Psam Yotzim Bo. Anyone who is memarik atzmo, Rashi over here gives a description. Memarik atzmo, Rashi writes, it's the first white line towards the bottom. Mifanali b'lekach, it means to say that he basically clears his schedule to do an avera. Memarik atzmo mishara sakim lihisasek ba'averos. Rashi describes that basically this person, it's not that he has an opportunity to do an avera, he basically makes himself free and clear in order to do an avera. So as a result of that, chaburos p'tzam yotzim bo. So he's going to be afflicted with wounds and other types of injuries. Shenemar the pasuk in Mishle, chaburos petza timrok bira. So you see over here this idea of merika, of a person making himself available to do an avera. V'lo od ela shidafon shenidon behidrakon. And on top of that, he's going to get hidrakon. Hidrokon is a type of ailment that the Gemara describes often. The best way I could describe it is some sort of swelling of the stomach. Shenema, the pasuk says, umakos chadri batan. So the pasuk, the same perik within Mishle, describes that the makos, that the wounds he's going to be receiving, is chadri batan, it's going to be in the stomach. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Siman La'Avera Hidroken. If you see somebody experiencing this hidroken, this kind of swollen body, the swollen belly, so that's a Siman La'Avera, it's a sign for an Avera. Tanu Rabbanan Gimel Mine Hidroken Hain. The Bryce over here describes hidroken in three different types of hidroken. Shel avera ava. And over here, hidroken comes mostly for avera, sometimes not. So for example, the hidroken of avera, so the flesh is going to be very thick. So we're giving actually symptoms of the different types of hidroken in order to reflect exactly what it came as a result of. So if you see this thick flesh, and don't ask me to explain it or describe it any better, so then that is the hidroken of Aveira. Vishal Ra'av Tapuach. Now, if the person is fasting and he's just simply malnutritioned, so malnourished, so he is going to be Tapuach. That's just going to be swollen. And Vishal Kshafim Dak. Now, if the person is involved in type of sorcery, so he's also going to be swollen. He's also going to be bloated, but it's going to be much thinner. Okay. So to the best of my understanding, the best of my way of describing it, so there are different types of hidroken, sometimes for avera, sometimes for kishuf, which is also an avera, and sometimes just simply for being malnourished. Shmuel Katan Chashbei, Shmuel Katan actually suffered from hidroken. Now Shmuel Katan, we remember, we go back to the Gemara in Brachos, and we remind each other that he was the one who authored the 19th bracha of the Shmon Esrei. He was an Adam Gadol. He was referred to Shmuel Katan simply because of his modesty and his humility, but he was extraordinarily significant, and he suffered from hidroken. Now, given that there is a hidroken that comes for just simply being malnourished, we obviously are going to assume that that is the one that he experienced. Amar Ribono Shel Olam, mi mafis. However, his response is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, who's going to take a lottery, right, from Haifis? Meaning, what Shmuel Katan says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu is, look, people get hidroken also for Avera as well. And when they see me, How are they going to know that my hidroken is coming as a result of being malnourished? People may think that my hidroken is coming as a result of me being a balavera. So itse. So his tefillah was accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu when he was healed. Abaye chashbe. Abaye also suffered from the hidroken. Amar Rava Yadana be Menachmeni demach v'nafshe. Now Rava testifies about his chavrusa, about his dear friend Nachmeni. Now whether or not his name is Abaye or Nachmeni, meaning it's both. It's both Abaye and Nachmeni. And which one is his proper name and which one's his nickname? So you can see Rashi over here. Rashi sends us to the Gemara in Gittin, nearly the same daf, and daf Lamadal in Gittin, where there Rashi opines in terms of which one's his proper name and which one's his nickname. In either way, Rav is testifying over here, I know my chavrusa, demach v'nafshe, and that he fasts very often. And so therefore, his hidroken is coming as a result of being malnourished. Rav chashbe, Rav also himself suffered from hidroken. So now the Gemara says, now that's very difficult to understand, because Rava would not afflict himself by fasting. Moreover, Rava said that he would not delay his bowel movements or any type of bathroom needs, meaning that if he needed to go to the bathroom, he would go right away. And Rava had a statement that more people are dying from delaying their bowel movement than from starvation. Obviously, Rava felt that both of them were poor life choices. How can Rava be suffering from this hidroken? Meaning, it's not because he was involved in Avera, so take that out of the discussion. And even if you want to say that's because of starvation and that he restricted food, but the Gemara points out, but that's also very difficult because we have a tradition that Rava was opposed to not fasting, not withholding the any kind of bowel movement. So the Gemara wants to know what's going on over here with Rava. Shani Rava da'ansi le'rabanim bi'inei ba'karche. So the Gemara gives an interesting response, and that is that the truth of the matter is that Rava wanted to relieve himself immediately. And Rava did not want to hold in his urine, he did not want to hold in his bowel movements. However, after shir, the students went over and the students asked him questions. And so therefore he was held back after shir. And he felt that it was more important to answer the questions then take care of his bodily needs, even though it resulted in poor health. In other words, he suffered from the hidroken. Tana Rabbana Dal Simanim Hain. There are four different simanim, signs. Siman Avera Hidroken. Number one is that when a person is involved in Avera, so the result is hidroken. Number two, Siman L'Sinas Chinam Yirakon. For Sinas Chinam, for the baseless hatred which we described, we described it actually in yesterday's daf. You go back to yesterday's daf, and there was a Rashi that we discussed yesterday regarding sinas chinam. Rashi says that a person was not a balavera, and yet you decided to hate him anyway. Right? That was Rashi's description yesterday of sinas chinam. You can see it, by the way, on the Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Right? Sinas chinam. It's more or less where we are in our Amud. Just look back at the previous Amud. Right, Rashi writes, Shelo ra'a bo dvar avera, she'emut l'son o v'son o. Right, in yesterday's daf, Rashi describes that you didn't see him doing any avera, and so therefore you have no reason to hate the person, meaning you should be hating a bal avera. But nevertheless, you didn't see it, and you hate him anyway. That's Rashi's description of sinas chinam. So the simon for sinas chinam is yerakon, some sort of jaundice. Simon lagasas ruach anios. When a person's involved in gasas ruach, arrogance. So what you'll see over there is poverty. Poverty over here, Rashi quoting the Gemara in Kedushin, does not mean poverty financial. Poverty over here means is that he's going to be poor in his yediyas haTorah. He simply will be ignorant of Torah, and that is going to be as a result of his arrogance. And finally, similar lashon hara, askara. And when a person's involved in lashon hara, so he's going to be afflicted with askara. Askara is some sort of swelling of the throat, which the Gemara describes in multiple occasions. A diphtheria may be a description of a diagnosis, but in either event, the Gemara goes through four different averos that come as a result of four different symptoms that comes as a result of four different averos. Tanur Rabbanan, we are in the very bottom of Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, ready to make the turn to the Amud Beis. Askara Bala Olam. The reason why Asura comes to this world is Al Meiser. When a person neglects taking off his Trumas and Meisers, and he eats the food in a state of Tevel. You look at the top Rashi over here, Al Meiser, Ha'ocha Perasav Tvalim, V'hu B'misa B'dei Shemayim. eating tevel, the onish is misa b'dei shemayim. V'zoi misa, so mida b'mida, d'derech grono nichnas b'me'av. It goes in through the throat in order to get to the stomach. And so therefore, because this person is eating a food that he should not have been eating, he should have been taken off to Trumas HaMaisos before eating the food, so now he's eating tevel. And so as a result of that, so the particular onish that's going to come is that he's going to have a swollen throat. Rebbe Elazar Rav Yossi Omer, al Lashon Hara. Rebbe Elazar Rav Yossi says that the askara is coming as a result of Lashon Hara, also obviously related to the throat and to the mouth. Continuing in the Gemara, Am Rav Avitem Rav Yishua Malevi, Maikra V'Hamelech Yismach Belokim, Yisalal Kol Hanishbabo, Ki Yisacher Pi Dovrei Sheker. The description over here in this pasuk in Tehillim is that what's going to happen is that there will be a socher, a swelling up of his mouth, because he was dover sheker, because he spoke sheker. Ibailu Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi Alashon Hara Kamar Odilma Af Alashon Hara Nami Kamar. Now this position, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi, that we were just introduced to, that the askara comes as a result of Lashon Hara, is he saying that it's only coming for Lashon Hara, or is he adding Lashon Hara to the list? Meaning he agrees that for a person eating tevel, he's going to be receiving askara, and on top of that, he also adds Lashon Hara as well. And the Gemara is going to discuss this extensively by quoting a very long brisa, Tashma. Kishenichnasu Rabbi Sinan leKerem Yavne. When the rabbis arrived at Kerem Yavne, Hayisham Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Nishala Shela Zu Bifnehem. So you had an assembly of the Tanaim of Rabbi Yehuda, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi, which just note, that's the one that we're trying to figure out. Whether or not askara comes for just Lashon Hara or for Tevel as well. And also Rebbe Shimon was there. And the following question was asked to them. Makazu mibnei ma mitchilas bibnei maim v'gomeres bepeh. As far as this particular affliction, they're discussing askara. We know that only here because contextually. It just simply says makazu. So why is it coming? So, and specifically the question is, it starts in the intestines and it moves its way up to the mouth. So this constriction starts low and then goes high. And why should that be? So the Gemara is now going to be reflecting the answers of the various tonight. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Elai Rosh HaMedabrim. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Elai, who was the one who spoke first. Now this should sound familiar. We did this at the end of Brachos where we described Rabbi Yehuda as the Rosh HaMedabrim. We're going to see in today's daf why it is that he was given this particular title. So, b'chol makom, and anytime there was any kind of assemblage, and anytime there was a speaking opportunity, so he always was the one who speak first. V'amar, afa pisha klayus yawatzos. Now, we're going to go over another point that we made at the end of Brachos, and that is that the kidneys are the ones that are giving the advice. V'lev meivin, and by the way, we discussed back in Brachos, specifically the right kidney. And the lev meivin and the lev and the heart gives provides understanding. V'lashon mechatech, and the tongue is there helping articulation. Pe gomer, but the final words are carved out by the mouth. And so as a result of that, that's why this askara, which he seemingly is describing as a response to the lashon hara, starts off low and moves its way up to the mouth because that's where the lashon hara finally is articulated. Ne'ene Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi now here comments. Now we're highlighting this right now because this is why we brought this Bryce in. We want to specifically see what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says regarding this askara. V'amar mimesh ochlem badvarim tameirin. So he says it's a result of the fact that people are eating non-kosher food. Now the Gemara says dvarim tameirin zalka da'atcha, not even as a havamina, the Gemara going to entertain the idea the Jewish people are going to be eating non-kosher, meaning non-kosher animals. That's just not even up for consideration. They're eating kosher food. It just wasn't tithed properly. And because it wasn't tithed properly, so it's tevel. Now, it happens to be tevel, as far as halacha is concerned, is also not kosher. But it's not fundamentally not kosher, not like not kosher meat. It's not kosher in the sense that you didn't take off trumas ha'maisos. Still, halachically, it's not much different. But at least psychologically, sociologically, it's something which is at root kosher, just didn't take off trumas ha'maisros. And so as a result of that, the askara comes. Nene Rabbi Shimon v'amar. Now Rabbi Shimon also responds, and he says, "Bavon b'Torah this askar comes as a result of bittul Torah. A person is neglecting his obligation to study Torah, so therefore the punishment is askara. Amrlo nashim yochichu. Now the Gemara says, now askara is not specific to any particular gender. It affects both men and women. And so the Gemara says, now I don't understand. Women do not have an obligation to learn Torah. Now obviously they have to know Torah in order to perform mitzvos, but as far as the ikar obligation of learning, they're not obligated, and yet they suffer from the askara, so it doesn't seem like you're right. So the Gemara says, Shemavan lo says ba'alehem. So the Gemara says, well, they need to be supporters of learning. And what they're doing is that they're distracting their husbands from learning. And so as a result of that, they also are going to be affected by this askara. Nachrim yochichu. So the Gemara says, what about the non-Jews? Also affected by askara. Why should that be? They don't have an obligation to learn Torah. Shemavalin es Yisrael. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when they distract the Jewish people, so they're also going to have to answer for the onesh of bittul Torah, because they are distracting the Jews from learning. Tinokos yochichu. So the Gemara says, what about children? Children also are suffering from askara. They also do not have a chiyuv of limud Torah. Shemevanlin savihen. So the Gemara says, well, they're distracting their father. They are demanding too much time of their father. And so for that also. Tinokos shel beis rabban yochichu. Now the Gemara says, now, you have the boys in the cheder, the boys in the yeshiva. Now they also at times are afflicted with this askara, and the Gemara says, now I don't understand. Meaning, not only are they not obligated in bittul Torah, but they actually are involved in limud Torah. And so why should they be afflicted with askara? So hasam b'derabbi Guryon. So the Gemara says, for that we're going to have to go to a different explanation. Zamar Rabbi Guryon v'itemer Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Shmaya v'zman shadikim ador shadikim nispasim al hador. So in a generation where we have tzaddikim, so Rachmanus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first goes after the tzaddikim. And the tzaddikim are going to be the ones held responsible for a generation. Ein tzaddikim bedor tinok shel beis rabban nispasim al hador. Now, if there are no tzaddikim in the generation, so the next one HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds responsible is the tinok shel beis rabban. So the young men who are in yeshiva. So they're the ones who are going to be held responsible for a generation. Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Zeiri v'Amrila Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Nizira Maikra. Im lo seidilacha hayafe ben Hashim silach b'ikvei hatzon. The pasuk at the beginning of Shir HaShirim describes the Yafe ben Hashim, right? Literally the most beautiful of the women, but we're understanding this b'derech hamashal, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu first goes after the most beautiful of the Jewish people, meaning the tzaddikim, and if they're not available, so seilach b'ikvei hatzon. So then we're going to look at the people who follow in the footsteps of the tzaddikin, the Amrinan. And on this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, they said the following, Gideon, Hamimushkanin al-Haroin. So what is going to happen is that you're going to have the goats who are going to be taken as collateral against the shepherds. So if there are shepherds, meaning the tzaddikin, fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes after the tzaddikin, and if not, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes after the kids with the double entendre intended. Meaning the goats described in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, but the young men who are studying in the yeshiva, or the boys studying in the yeshiva, the tinokos shel beis rabban, shema mina af al lashon hara. Now, break. We finished the braisa. Now the Gemara over here is going and responding. Responding to the statement of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Meaning at the top of the Amud, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi is given an explanation in terms of why it is askara is visited, is suffered by people. And he above on the top of the Amud gave the explanation because of Lashon Hara. And the question the Gemara wanted to know is he also adding this to the list? Or is he saying Lashon Hara as opposed to the Achilas HaTavel? And then when we quoted the Braisa that we just went through, and we just finished, so he says that the askara is visited for the person eating Tavel. So clearly he subscribed to the idea that askara comes and is suffered by people because they eat Tevel. And when he's adding Lashon Hara, he's doing exactly that. He's adding Lashon Hara. Shema mina af al Lashon Hara na mikamar shema mina. So the Gemara successfully concludes that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon has now two different averos that bring about askara. One, the speaking of Lashon Hara. Two, the consumption of Tevel. We are in the middle of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. A little less than halfway down in the Amud. Last word in the line, Ve'amai. Ve'amai karelei Rosh HaMadarmen b'chol makom. Now, we described Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai in this assemblage of the Chachamim, of these Tanayim, and we described him as the Rosh HaMedaber. And why was he given that specific title? The Yasser Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, the Yasser Yehuda Ben Gerim Gabayhu. So we have over here another event where sitting together were the Tanayim of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Shimon, and together with them was also Yehuda Ben Gerim. Now, it does not say Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gerim. Rashi makes note that it's just Yehuda Ben Gerim. Tosfos over here reflects on it over here could possibly be, and Rabbi Natam had this girsa, that it was Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gerim. See Tosfos, the only Tosfos on this Amud, for that discussion. Anyway, Pasuk Rabbi Yehuda Vamar. Now, Rabbi Yehuda speaks, and this is Rabbi Yehuda's comment. Kamenayim asem shel umazu. This nation over here, he's making reference to the Roman nation. So this nation, now these are later Tanayim. So historically now we are post-Chorban Baisheni, after the destruction of the Second Temple. And Rabbi Yehuda now is commenting on the Romans. So this nation, Tiknu Shvakim, Tiknu Gesherim, Tiknu Merchatzos. So he was just admiring that which the Romans accomplished. They made marketplaces, they made bridges, they made bathhouses, meaning in terms of their engineering, and in terms of their city building, so Rabbi Yehuda just simply commented that they're impressive. Rabbi Yossi Shasak. Rabbi Yossi did not comment neither positive nor negative. Nene Rashbi v'Amar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has a comment over here. Kol mashitiknu lo tiknu lo tiknu al tzorach atzman. Any institution that was made by the Romans, says the Rashbi, was done only for self-serving purposes. Tiknu shvakim la'ashiv mehem zonos. The reason why they made the marketplaces is only so that they can have their brothels. Mirchatzos la'adin b'hem atzman. And as far as the bathhouses, that was only so that they could beautify themselves within these bathhouses. Gisharim li'tol mehem meches. Bridges, only for the purposes of toll collection. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim v'sipa divrehem. Now, Yehuda ben Gerim did not have a comment, but what he did, however, do is that he related the entire conversation so that it got over to the Romans. V'nishmu l'machus. And the Romans heard now about this conversation that took place. Amr Yehuda she'ila yitala. Now Yehuda here, Yehuda bar Ilai, who praised the Romans, so he himself is going to get a promotion, he's going to get elevated. And that means to say now we know the story behind the story in terms of why it is that he was given the title of Rosh HaMedabrin. Yossi sheshasak yigala litzipori. Now Rabbi Yossi, so he was quiet. Now he didn't say anything positive, he didn't say anything negative. So for that, we are not going to give him a harsh onesh, we'll just simply send him into exile. And he's going to be exiled to Tzipori. And Shimon shegina yehareg. And the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, because he spoke poorly about the Roman people, so he's going to be sent to be, he's going to be killed. Azal hu uberei. Now, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai went together with his son and Tashu Bei Medrasha. And what they did is they hid in the Beis Medrash. Kol yuma hava maisi lu devasai rifta v'kuza damaya v'karche. And every day, his wife would sneak over to the Beis Medrash, hand them a loaf of bread and a jug of water. And kitakev gezirta. Now, the Romans really wanted to get at the Rashbi. And they were looking everywhere for the Rashbi. Why they weren't looking in the Beis Medrash, somewhat of a mystery. But anyway, they couldn't find him. And Amar le Lebrei, and the Rashbi says to his son, Rabbi Elazar, here's the problem. We've been hiding out very well, and your mother has been taking wonderful care of us, but this is not going to last. Nashin daitin kalan alehen dilma mitzari le umiglalan. And what's going to happen is that they're going to put pressure on your mother, and they're gonna basically squeeze the information right out of her, and she's gonna tell them where we're hiding. So azlo tasha b'marasa. So then they moved locations, and they moved from the Beis Medrash and they went into a cave. Itzrachish nisa ivrelu charuva ve'ina demaya. Now in terms of their sustenance, so they were supported by a miracle. A boxer tree grew right near them. Also ina demaya. They had a wellspring that sprung out from them, from underneath them as well. Now, they knew that they were going to be sequestered in this cave for a long time. and they knew that the clothing that they wore was going to be their only set of clothing. So from the majority of their day, they would take off their clothing, and they would sit in the ground up until their neck, and so that way their body was covered. And kuli yomei garsei, and they would be learning the entirety of the day while being buried in the sand. Be'idan sluye, now when it came time to daven, lavshu michse umasle. So then they got dressed. Super interesting over here that for the limud haTorah, being covered in the sand would be good, but for the tefillah, they actually got dressed. Now this isn't so strange, and it's not difficult to understand. We learned in Brachos that we have to be prepared. Hikon likras elkecha Yisrael. That we have to prepare ourselves before davening. And we have to dress properly before davening. And so over here in this most unusual circumstance, so they reserve the clothing specifically for tefillah. V'hadu meshach manayhu. And then after davening, they would take off their clothing, and once again, ki'echid ala livlevu, so that their clothing would not disintegrate. And so basically, they were looking to preserve the clothing as long as possible, and so they would limit the usage of their clothing only for that of davening. Eitz v'treisa shana b'marasa. For 12 years now, they're in the cave. Asar Eliyahu v'kama pischa d'marasa. Along comes Eliyahu Navi, standing by the entrance of the cave. Amar man lodia labar yochai demes kasar kesar ubata gezerta. And he asks a question, but obviously over here the intent is that he wanted the Rashbi to overhear him. Why didn't Eliyahu go into the cave and directly communicate this information to the Rashbi? It's a wonderful question. I look forward to hearing an answer. Anyway, so he asked the question, who's going to tell Bar Yochai that the kesar died and the gezerah now has been nullified? Nafki chazu inshe dekakarve vizare. And now, Rashbi, together with his son, exit the cave after 12 years. And they see the craziest thing. And that is, people are planting in the ground. They are karve, they are furrowing, they're choresh, they're plowing the land, vizare, and they're planting. And Amar menichin chaye olam v'uskin b'chaye sha'a. And he doesn't understand. How can these people be tending to the temporary world that we live in? And how could they not be learning and studying Torah, which is chaye olam, that provides for us chiyus for the rest of eternity? So he says, I don't understand. It just simply does not compute. Kol makom shenos nemeinayim miyad nisraf. Wherever they go, they just simply cast their eyes, and people are going to be burnt as a result of the fact that they couldn't comprehend. And at this point in time, the Rashbi, together with his son, had serious, serious kochos. And so people just simply burnt in their pathway. And so the Basko comes out and says, I don't want you destroying the world. And I want you to go back to your cave. Hadur azol esve treisa yarche shaseh. And they go back to the cave for an additional year. Amrei. Now, in terms of why they went specifically back for one more year, so they've had the following argument. Mishpat Rishayim Begehenem Yud Beis Chodesh. That when it comes to a Rasha, so after he dies, so he's going to be in Gehenem for a year. Really interesting Rashi. I'm not going to read it, but I encourage you to look at it. Rashi over here gives the source how we know this idea that a Rashi, he's quoting Seder Olam, that a Rasha is going to be judged for a full year after he dies. So Yatsa Baskova Amra Tsime Maraschem. And so therefore, they felt that the Onish is not going to be here longer than a year. So they go back for the cave for a year. And the Basko announces, come out of your cave. Despite the fact that they had a Svara in terms of why he should be for a year, still they didn't leave until they heard the Basko. Nafku, they go out. Kol Hecha Dave Mache Rebbe Elazar, Have Mase Rebbe Shimon. Well, of this duo, of this tandem, so half of them, half of this tandem, received the message. And the other half, not fully. As they left the cave after this year, so Rebbe Elazar would still be destroying. And for everything that Rebbe Elazar destroyed, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai repaired. Amar lo b'ni dai lo olam ani v'ata. And now, Rashbi has a word with his son. And he says, look, as far as the world is concerned, and this chuyos for this world, so it's enough that there's you and me. Behade panya de malish abasa, chazer hu sabda avanaka tre madane asa, v'rayt benashmashos. Now it happened to have been that it was Erev Shabbos, and they saw this elderly man, and he was running with two bundles of hadasim, and it was benashmashos. Amrule, they say to him, hani lamalach, why are you running with his hadasim in Erev Shabbos? Amrule lechav Shabbos. So he says, I'm bringing it because of Kavod Shabbos, meaning I want there to be good fragrances around me on Shabbos. So he has them now as a result of Kavod Shabbos. V'tiskelach bechad. So they ask him the question, isn't one bundle going to be enough? Why do you have two bundles? Chad keneged zachar v'chad keneged shamar. Well, one is for zachar and the other is shamar. The two dibros that deal with the mitzvah of Shmir Shabbos, one is with a Zachor and the other one's with a Shamor, and that's why two bundles. Minig Yisrael is that when they light their Shabbos licht, so they light two candles, and it's brought down, one is for the Zachor and the other is for the Shamor. Amalei Lebrei, so now the Rashbi points to his son and says, look, Chazi Kameh Chavim Mitzvos Al Yisrael, look at how the Jewish people love mitzvos, meaning there's no reason why we need to do any kind of destruction. And there's no reason why we need to be critical. The Jewish people really do like doing mitzvos. Okay, so they're not on our level, but still, they're kedoshim. Yosef da'atayhu. And that assuaged the son of the Rashbi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And so therefore, they were comforted. Shamar Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir Chasnei. Now, the son-in-law of the Rashbi was Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir. And the Gemara elsewhere has a number of stories to tell regarding Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir. And the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir. And Nafak Lape, and he goes to greet his father-in-law. Aile Lebe Banya, and he takes his father-in-law to the bathhouse in order to give him a bath. It's been some time. So Ka'arich Le Lebisra, and basically what he's doing is that he is massaging, is combing out his flesh. Chazur Dahave Be Pile Begufe. Now we can't imagine. After 12, now 13 years of being sequestered in the cave. So the amount of crevices and cracks that were within his body, havikabache, and when Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir sees what his father-in-law had to endure, so he started crying. V'kanasu dimas enei v'kametzav chelei, and the salty tears now leaves his face and goes into the cracks of his father-in-law, and his father-in-law lets out a scream. Amrle oili sharis shirasicha bekach, and he says, woe to me that I have to see you in this kind of condition. Amar Le Rashbi says back to Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir, Ashrecha shere atine bekach. No, you should be fortunate. Sheo malei lo reitine bekach lo masesei bekach. Had you not seen me in the state, so you wouldn't have seen me. Dimikara kahave makshe Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai kushya, have mefarik le Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir treisa piruk. Because let's go over what my level of, scholarship was before I went to the cave, versus my level of scholarship after I went to the cave. Before I went to the cave, so I had a question, and you, Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir, my son-in-law, so you would give me 12 different answers in terms of answering my question. L'sof, ki ava makshe Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir kushya, and now when my son-in-law asked the question, havim mefarik le Rashbi, esrin varbar piruke, and that my father-in-law, now the Rashbi, would give 24 different answers to the question. So you see that my level of mastery of Torah has significantly improved as a result of me being in the cave for the 12 plus 1 years. Amar Hovis Rachish Nisa Ezel Itkan Milsa. And so now, the Rashbi says, a miracle happened on behalf of me, for me. And so therefore, so let me pay back society. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and he survived his father-in-law. And he survived his brother. And so now he comes back shalem. Va'amarav shalem begufo, shalem be'mamono, shalem be'soroso. And in understanding this pasuk, so first Rav says that he came back whole in his body, whole in his money, whole in his understanding of Torah. Va'yichan es p'nei ha'ir, and he gives chayin to the people of the city. And the Gemara goes on to explain, what does that mean? Amarav matbea tikein lahem. So Rav says that he basically established a new currency within the city, and he helped the financial market. Shmuel Amar Shivakim Tikin Lahem. Shmuel says that he made marketplace for the community. He built a market.
And Rav Yochanan Amar Mechatzos Tikein Lahem. And Rav Yochanan says that he built a bathhouse. Amar Ika Milsa Dabai Litzkune. And so now the Rashbi says, good. So we learn from Yaakov Avinu that when a miracle happens to you, so you have to pay back society, you have to make a contribution to society. So what contribution can I make over here? Ika Milsa Dabai Litzkune, does anything need to be resolved? Amar Le Ika Duchta Dias Bei Safik Tumma. So they said to him that there is a place where possibly there's Tumma over there. And the Kohanim, as we are now on the top of Lamed Aleph Aleph, the Kohanim have a very difficult time circumventing this area. So, but they do so, but it's very difficult for them. So he says, okay, so before I do any kind of investigation on this place, looking to make the areas that are Suffolk Tameh no longer a Suffolk, and we're going to see his methodology in just a moment, he wants to know, can anyone attest to the fact that there was a historical period of time where we know for sure that there was no tummy here whatsoever? Amar le Ahusaba kan kitzeitz ben zakai tormasei truma. So an elderly person goes over to the Rashbi and says, look, I have the following tradition, and that is ben zakai would be cutting right here in this area the tormasei truma. Now truma obviously can only be eaten by Kohanim, and Truma has to be kept in a state of Tahara. We just discussed this recently within the Daf. And so he cut it right here in this location. So that means to say that during the period of Ben Zakkai, which is only a couple of generations earlier, so we see that Ben Zakkai felt that this area was an area that was free and clear of any Tuma. And oh, by the way, Rashi writes over here that Ben Zakkai himself was a Kohen, which makes sense because he was cutting up the Truma, presumably for himself. Anyway, Avad Iunami Hachi, and so he says, good. So what I'm going to do is the following. I'm going to do the same thing. Super interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Avad Iunami Hachi, Hayem Mekatzeitz Tormusim Umashlichim Sham. So what he would do is he would cut up Tormusim, not Truma Tormusim, as we'll see in just a moment, and he left it over, and he places it in that area which was a Suffolk. And Rashi writes, Venasa Nes, and a miracle occurs. Vitzaf ha-meis b'makam shu'usham. And where the mace was, so it rose up. Vitzianu l'makam ha-kever. And then what he did is he marked off the area. Hach mefarsh b'psikt d'parshas ha-omer. Uvesed ezraim yushami. And Rashi over here cites a source, because obviously Rashi is not fabricating this story. This is a sourced story. Rashi says he found it in both Midrashim and early Midrashim, and he also found in the Yerushalmi as well. So that is the methodology employed by the Rashbi in order to ascertain where exactly the body was buried. And kolhecha davikashe tare, v'cholhecha davi rape tsaine. Anywhere where it was hard land, it was bedrock, meaning to say that there was no mace over there, so he was matar that area. Anywhere it was soft, and now we saw the Rashi, and we saw the story behind the story, so then he marked off that area as being an area where there is where there's a mace. And so what he did now is he basically isolated certain areas to be an area of Tuma, and he freed up all the other areas to be not an area of Tuma. Amru Sabar Tir Ben Yochai Basic Varus. Now the elderly person said, look what Ben Yochai did. It was a basic varus, it was a cemetery, and the Rashbi decided, oh, it's no longer a cemetery. Now it's a curiosity of a Gemara, because it sounds like it's the same elderly person who said that I know for sure historically that there was not Tuma in this location. And now it's just a question of Suffolk. Okay. But nevertheless, he had no gratitude towards the Rashbi. And he says, I cannot believe the Rashbi did this. He was Metar in an area which was the basic verse. Amale ilmale aisi imanu, ve'afilu hiisi imanu, ve'lo nimis imanu, yafa ata omer. So he says, look, if you weren't here, and now that you were here, and you counted yourself amongst us, so yafa ta'omer, meaning, I can understand, if you just happened to have come along, and you saw what I did, okay. But akshav shayisi imanu, but you were here, v'nimne seimanu, and remember, I consulted with you on this. So yomru, and so I don't understand. How can you have assisted me in the process of being matar of the land, and then afterwards you're critical of me? You're publicly critical of me? Yomru. Look, Zonos Mefarchus Zu. So when you have the community of prostitutes, so they help each other, they assist each other, right? They comb each other's hair, they dye each other's hair. They basically make themselves look presentable in order to drum up business. And so that's how prostitutes act one to another. They help each other. Talmid chacham lo kol shekein. So you don't think the profession here of the rabbinate, you don't think that we can help, we can't help one another? Meaning that you have to be publicly critical of me after I went ahead and did something which was helpful and productive? Yavba'in v'nach nafshei. So he basically gives him the eye. The Rashbi gives this old, this elderly man the eye, and nach nafshei, and this person dies as a result of receiving the eye of the Rashbi. Nafuk l'shuka chazi yaluhuda ben gerim. And here we're given an epilogue. And that is that when the Rashbi goes out to the marketplace, so he discovers none other than Yehuda ben Gerim. Now you remember, of course, that Yehuda ben Gerim is the one who recounted the entire conversation that was had amongst the Tanaim, which led to the Rashbi and his son going into the cave for a total of 13 years. And now he confronts Yehuda ben Gerim years later. Amar adayin yesh lezeh ba'olam. I can't believe this person's still in the world. Nasim bo'enav asu gal shal atzamos. Once again, gave him the eye, and he turned into a pile of bones. And so that is the epilogue to the story. Let's quickly recap our daf today. We went over the various averos and the various repercussions of being involved in these averos. This discussion in the Gemara started in yesterday's daf and towards the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis and goes well into today's daf. The first amud of today's daf goes over a total of 9, possibly a 10th avera, and the ramifications, the repercussions of being involved in these particular averos. And again, the themes of the Gemara are Mida Keneged Mida, that the punishment is going to fit the crime. And on top of that, the general idea of Schar Ve'Onish. Furthermore, the Gemara went on to describe Hidroken in detail, who's going to be suffering from Hidroken, and as a result of what are people going to be suffering from Hidroken. The Gemara also went on to discuss Askara, and what are the various reasons that a person suffers from Askara. It led us to discussion of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi, who the Gemara concluded says that Askara, this constriction of the throat, comes as a result of both being involved in Lashon Hara and on eating Tevel. How do we know that? So the Gemara told us the story of the Rashbi sitting together with other Tanayim, making comments about the Romans. The conversation was then passed along the Romans. And then we are treated to the famous story of the Rashbi. And just to conclude, let it not be, let me not gloss over the fact that today's Daf and Shabbos is Daf Lamed Gimel. And obviously this is a Daf dedicated to the discussion of the Rashbi. The yard site of the Rashbi, the Hilula of the Rashbi, is observed on Lag BaOmer.